محمد الهادي البشير قد جاءنا حق النذير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. So we'll begin with the hadith that all of us have heard many times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. So this is a hadith that all of us have heard. But maybe sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He benefits us from a hadith at a particular time that we haven't benefited from before. And I hope that by the barakah of this gathering and all of you who are present here, that I'll benefit something from this hadith, and inshallah all of you as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this hadith about an emigration. So the emigration from Mecca to Medina, the hijrah from Mecca to Medina, was an act of worship. It was an act of sacrifice. The companions, they left their homes, they left their families, they left their wealth, they left everything, and they came to afresh. And there was a companion who wanted to marry a woman, and her name was Qais. And so she told him that if you want to marry me, you have to emigrate to Medina. And so he emigrated to Medina in order to marry her. And so he was known as Muhajir Qais, the one who made hijrah for Qais. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in general terms, and that we saw was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wouldn't single out people and tell them the things that they had done wrong, but he would speak in general terms. So here in this hadith, he speaks in general terms, and he said, made a general statement that actions, their value comes from the intentions that we make with those actions, religious actions, acts of worship. They gain their value with the intention that one makes for them. So whoever intends by his emigration, which was an action, to do it for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, then he has done it for Allah and His Messenger. In other words, he has a great reward. And anyone who does it in order to gain the dunya or to marry a woman, then that's what he'll get. So the scholars, they define ikhlas, they define sincerity. That's the topic of our session today. They define sincerity. They say, al-ikhlasu ifradu al-haqqi subhanahu wa ta'ala fi at-ta'ati bil-qasdi. So it means, so ikhlas, sincerity, means that when one does an act of worship, one does it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So ikhlas refers to acts of worship. Somebody could show off to somebody else about how strong they are, about how well they cook food, but that we don't say that that's not the opposite of ikhlas, because showing somebody how strong you are and showing someone how good you cook, it's not an act of worship. But when somebody does an act of worship, then ikhlas, sincerity, means that we do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the Jews and the Christians. He said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. Again, verses that we all know, that the Jews and Christians were not commanded except to worship Allah, making their obedience to Allah, their worship to Allah. That's what meant by deen, sincerely for Him. So the Jews and the Christians, they had outward acts of obedience. But the outward acts of obedience that they did were not sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was religious corruption. So the Jews, the priests, they gained something from perpetuating their attachment to the corrupted teachings of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and not becoming Muslim. And that's why especially for the leaders among them, for the scholars among them, to become Muslim was very difficult. And those of them who did, like Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam, it showed great act of sincerity on their part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, he's taking the Jews and the Christians to task for not being sincere in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning their act of worship, turning their religion into a means to gather wealth, to gather power, to gather influence, and making that their motivating factor. And that's what happens with every religion that becomes corrupted, that becomes lost. And the sign that a religion has been preserved is the sincerity that remains within it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a sincere person. And that's why his companions, they believed in him and they followed him. And they saw that sincerity in him. There's many signs of his sincerity. So one sign of sincerity that stands out, that stood out to me as I was preparing this lesson, it refers to the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari in which it mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tufiya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa dir'uhu marhunatun 'inda yahudiyyin bi 30 sa'an min sha'ir. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he passed away, let's keep in mind what was it like when he passed away. When he passed away, he was the undisputed authority of the Arabian Peninsula. All of the tribes had come and they had accepted Islam. They had accepted him as their ruler. People who had fought him for years, who had killed his companions, who had harmed him, they had accepted his religion, and everybody accepted him as the most powerful man in Arabia. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he's the messenger of God, he can command people to say, he can say to them, give me money. He can command them, he can say, give me, and all his needs can be fulfilled. But when he passed away, he had taken a debt. He was in debt. He had borrowed 30 sa, which is a measure of volume, of barley from a Jew in order to feed his family. So he went to a Jew and he said that I don't have enough money to feed my family. He didn't ask any of his companions. And he said, can I borrow 30 sa's of barley? And he what did the Jew say? The Jew said, how do I know you're going to pay me back? And give me collateral, give me something that I can keep as a security. In case you're unable to pay me back, I'll sell that and I'll get back what I lent to you. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's the ruler, he's speaking to a non-Muslim, he gave him his armor as collateral so that if in case he was unable to pay it back, he could sell that, get his 30 sa's of barley back and give it back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. And that tells us something about his sincerity in his calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but his da'wah, when he was calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wasn't doing it in order to gain anything personally. He wasn't doing it for any personal gain. And that is apparent from every page of his life sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so if you read his life and you see many in the Meccan period, you see that the chiefs of Quraysh, they offered to give him money, they offered to give him wealth, and he went from being the most honored person in Mecca, as-sadiq al-amin, even the everybody believed in him, everybody respected him, everybody honored him. And when he started calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these 13 years in Mecca, it ended in a state where they wanted to kill him, they wanted to torture him, they wanted to, and in the middle, they offered him all kinds of things and he refused, he turned away from them. This shows that he was sincere, because had he not been sincere, had he been an imposter, he would have compromised, he would have taken something from them. When he fought them, and he fought these battles, and finally he returned to Mecca victorious, and everybody who'd harmed him is under his control, he can take his revenge, he can execute his power, he said, what do you think I'm going to do to you? And they said, you're the son of a generous man, son of a generous man. And he said, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. There's no, you're all forgiven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. This shows his sincerity. This shows that when he was calling to people, when he was struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah. It wasn't for any selfish motives. And this is sincerity. It's a trait of the Prophet. It's a character trait of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's a character trait that every Muslim, each and every one of us, we aspire to, and it's a beautiful character trait. That's an explanation of this character trait. بينت مواقف سيدي من 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 حياته. عند يعني بدءا من الحديث سمعتم انه لما توفي يعني كان ديره مرهونة يدل على انه يعني لم يعني كان يدعو الى الله سبحانه وتعالى باخلاص لم يكن يستفد من يعني اي غرض شخصي حتى وهو اقوى شخص في الجزيرة العربية كان يهود يعني بإمكان اليهودي أن يقول له يعني أريد الضمان يعني أن ترد إلي ديني ثم بينت بعض مواقف أخرى من حياته في مكة
صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه بينتم الله يجزيكم الخير.
هل يعني كل شخص في يكون عنده لي سؤال يعني أن هذا الخلق خلق الإخلاص يعني نراه يعني هو الذي رآه الصحابة في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فتعلقوا به. فعندما نحب شخصا ويعني نستفيد منه من الدين فهذا الخلق هو الذي يجذبنا ونظن في الشخص إخلاصا. فهل يعني أنتم عندما يعني كنتم مع شيخ عبد الرحمن وغيره الشيخ مصطفى الشيخ شكري هل هناك يعني شخصيا نماذج يعني مواقف رأيتموها من أجلها يعني من هذا أترجم السؤال. So I asked the question that everyone when we benefit religiously from someone, then the thing that draws us to them is their sincerity. So the companions, the reason why they were drawn to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is because they saw his sincerity. So when there is a religious teacher that captures our imagination, that we're attracted to, this is something that we see. So I asked him that, in are there things that he saw in the lives of Sheikh Abdul Rahman and Sheikh Mustafa and Sheikh Shukri that captured him in this way and drew him to them?
صور الإخلاص كثيرة متعددة. ما سمعناه عن سيدنا الشيخ الهاشمي، يعني في شيء مثلا سمعناه من سيدنا الهاشمي، في شيء سمعناه عن سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن، فما نقل عن سيدنا الهاشمي أنه بعد وفاة شيخه ابن يلس قام أحد وقال أنا يعني عندي يعني إجازة في الطريق، فذهب إليه الهاشمي وقال يا أخي أنت تقول أن الشيخ ابن يلس قد أجازكم؟ قال أنا نعم. قال كيف؟ قال هو كان يطلب مني أن أذاكر الإخوان في الخلوة. فقال له الهاشمي قال هذا لا يعتبر إذن، هذه وظيفة وظفك إياها الشيخ لكن ليست في قواعد القوم بالإذن. فقال له هل تريد، يخاطب الهاشمي، قال له هل تريد أن تكون منافع الطريق لك أنت؟ قال له الهاشمي أشهد الله أنه كل ما يأتيني من الطريق هو لك ولا أنتفع منه بشيء شخصيا أبدا، ولكن أنا يعني أخشى أن بدعوتك هذه أخشى عليك. فأما إذا كانت الطريق في من ورائها فائدة فأنا أتنازل عن كل هذه الفائدة لك.
Said that he heard from, this is about Sheikh al-Hashimi. Sheikh al-Hashimi is the Sheikh of Sheikh Abdul Rahman. So Sheikh al-Hashimi, he emigrated to Damascus from Algeria with his teacher. And his teacher, his name was Ibn Yallas. And Ibn Yallas, he trained Sheikh al-Hashimi and he kept his company and he learned how to be a sincere person through him. So when Ibn Yallas passed away, then one of his students, not Sheikh al-Hashimi, said that I am now going to be the one who teaches all of you how to be sincere. I'm going to take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that Sheikh Ibn Yallas, he authorized me to play this role. So Sheikh al-Hashimi went to him and he said that Sheikh Ibn Yallas didn't authorize you. What was the authorization? And he said that his authorization was that when people would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there used to be a method of spiritual training that they used called the khalwa. Khalwa is for 2-3 days. The student remains remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are stages of spiritual progress that the teacher takes the student through. So he said that during the lifetime of Sheikh al-Hashimi, I used to play that role. He used to have me teach the students and take them through the stages of this solitary dhikr. And Sheikh al-Hashimi said that doesn't count as an authorization. That doesn't mean, because you were still under his supervision, he never said that you are to do this independently. And he now turned to Sheikh al-Hashimi and he accused him. He said, do you want all the benefits of the spiritual path to be yours? The benefits of the spiritual path, when somebody becomes a guide, teaching people how to be sincere, then money comes, power comes, somebody comes and donates a house, or somebody comes in, and all of these things come into the lap of the one who has put himself forward to perform this role. So these are called manafi' al-tariq, the benefits of the tariq. And so he accused Sheikh al-Hashimi. He said, are you, you want them to be yours? That's why you're saying this. And Sheikh al-Hashimi said that I call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be my witness. Everything that comes, it's yours. Anything anybody were to donate, I would take it, I'd give it to you. It all belongs to you. I'm just doing this because I fear for you. And it's not fitting for you to, it's not safe for you to make a claim and play a role that that you haven't been authorized to play.
من صور الإخلاص عند سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن كان له صديق أخبرتكم في هذا في ترجمة سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن كان له صديق عمره يعني كان من عمر الشيخ تقريبا في العشرين من العمر أصابه مرض السل فكان الشيخ يمشي في سوق الحميدية وجد بطيخ في غير أوانه فاشترى بطيخة بما يعادل ليرة ذهبية أو ثلث ليرة ذهبية وأخذها إلى هذا صديقه وكان هذا الصديق قد عزلوه أهله في على سطح المنزل في غرفة زجاجية ملعقته لحالها صحنه وحده يعني لا يختلطون به فاستأذن الشيخ في ذلك وصعد إليه وذبح له البطيخة ثم أخذ من وسطها لأنها تكون حلوة من الوسط فأخذ من وسطها يقطع ويضع القطعة نصفها في فم صديقه والنصف الثاني في فمه
said Sheikh Abdul Rahman he هذا عندما كان قلت
بالعشرينات من عمره تقريبا
when he was in his 20s when he was in his 20s he had a friend who got I believe it's tuberculosis and not sure about the translation but I believe it's TB and when people would get TB it used to be a fatal disease and they would put the person into quarantine, he would be in his own quarters. And so in his family, they placed him on the roof in a glass room and nobody, his own family wouldn't mingle with him because if anybody, a highly contagious disease, if anybody else gets it, they're going to die too. And so they would pass food to him on a, you know, without any contact. He had his own spoon that he ate with, nobody else ate with that spoon. And so this Sheikh Abdul Rahman, he knew that this friend of his loved watermelons, and it wasn't watermelon season, so he wanted to comfort him and make him feel happy because everybody's now suddenly his own family members aren't interacting with him, so he went to the marketplace and he bought a watermelon and he bought it for either the price of a gold coin or a third of a gold coin, which is a lot of money, you know, so it's really expensive because it's out of season. But he went and he spent it, he bought it, and then he went up onto the roof, he sought the family's permission, he entered the room, he sliced the watermelon, and he went to the middle of it because that's where it's sweetest. He took out a piece and he would give a bite to his friend and the other bite he would take. So this is sincerity because he wants to show for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his friend that he loves him, that he cares about him. This is an act of worship. And he's doing it in a way that is endangering himself. He's spending money and he's endangering his life. He did it out of sincerity. He was a social person. It's part of the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To interact with people, to be kind to them, to have friends, and that was part of his nature from a young age.
صور الإخلاص من سيدنا الشيخ مصطفى سيدنا الشيخ شكري مضى على إجازتهم من الهاشمي أكثر من 40 سنة ولا أحد يعلم في تلك الإجازة.
He said that ikhlas, the sincerity of Sheikh Mustafa and Sheikh Shukri, and I encourage you to watch their life stories, which we did with Sidi Abu Munir. And both of them, they had an authorization from Sheikh al-Hashimi and nobody knew about it until very late. And they concealed it and nobody, they didn't tell anybody because they weren't seeking to be put in a place of importance.
في إخلاص بالعبودية. الإخلاص في العبودية هو القيام بحقوق الربوبية من غير نظر ولا تعلق بثواب أو عقاب، كما فعل حبيبنا صلى الله عليه وسلم، كان يقوم حتى تتورم قدماه، وقد غفر الله له من ذنبه ما تقدم وما تأخر. فقيل له في ذلك فقال: ألا أكون عبدا شكورا.
So there's also ikhlas. You have sincerity in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And complete sincerity in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when we worship Allah, we don't want from that worship any benefit, not in this world, not even in the next world. So we don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to gain a reward. We do it sincerely just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of love for Him. And that was the state of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would stand at night in prayer until his feet got swollen. And he was asked, why do you do this when all of your sins have been forgiven? And he said, should I not be an extremely grateful servant?
صورة من صورة الإخلاص من الصحابة. أحد الأسرى قيل له تدفع الفداء ثم يطلق سراحك، ولو أسلمت لا تحتاج إلى الفداء. فدفع الفداء ثم خرج وعاد بعد قليل وأعلن شهادته: أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقيل له في ذلك قال: أردت أن أكون عندما أنطق بالشهادة لست تحت ضغط أو لأجل دفع ضرر الفداء. فدفع وخرج ثم عاد ونطق بالشهادة. هذه صور من صورة الإخلاص.
One of the, an illustration of the sincerity of the companions. One of the companions was taken prisoner, and he was given a ransom that you'll be, if you bring this much money, then you'll be freed. But if you become Muslim, then you don't have to pay a ransom. So he paid the ransom, then he left free, and he came back and he became Muslim. And so he was asked, why did you do that? And he said that he didn't want his becoming Muslim to have any connection with any kind of motivation, financial motivation. So he wasn't doing it. So he paid it, and then he did this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وفي كل ركن من أركان الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان فيه إخلاص.
In every pillar of Islam, Iman and Ihsan, there is إخلاص. There's sincerity. يوجد سؤال سيدي أسأله. There's a question. It says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My understanding is that everything I do should ideally be an act of worship through intention, including publishing a book for kids or asking a scholar a question about it or marketing it or joking with my wife about it or looking for feedback from others on it. Does doing any of these things which expose the work to the gaze of others constitute riya or insincerity? Does intention transform things like publishing a coloring book for kids into an act of worship? It seems it might be simpler to just think of ibadah as the ritual such as prayer and fasting. Is it wrong to think of one's own non-ritual projects as acts of worship? فأحد الإخوان يسأل يقول فعنده يكتب كتب للأطفال كتب قصص ملفتة يعني جذابة لكن فيها شيء من الدين من هكذا من حتى يعني يتأثروا تأثرا إيجابيا. فيقول عندما يكتب فيقول يعني يعني سمعت أن أنه أن كل 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 عمل ينبغي أن أكون مخلصا فيه، أن يكون عندي نية. فأنا عندما أطبع هذا الكتاب فأنشر الكتاب للقراءة، وأنشره لشخص ليقرأه ويعطيني أفكاره حوله، وأسوق الكتاب وأمزح مع زوجتي حول الكتاب ويعني أستمتع به، فيوجد وجوه الاستمتاعات كثيرة متعلقة بهذا بإخراج هذا الكتاب. فيقول هذا الاستمتاع هل يعني هل يخالف الإخلاص؟ هل أدخل في الرياء من أجل أن أفعل هذه الأشياء؟
إذا كان فرحك وسرورك ومتعتك بأن الله أظهرها عليك فلا حرج، أما إذا كان مصدر الاستمتاع والسرور والفرح هو تعالوا يا الفني شوفوني ما أحسنني، هذا يناق يعني
نعم
يقدح في الإخلاص.
فهو يريد أن يكون مخلصا يعني
ينظر يرى ذلك العمل من توفيق الله تعالى، ووالله لولا الله ما اهتدينا ولا تصدقنا ولا صلينا. إذا كانت هذه ففرح بهذا العمل بأن رأى الموفق له في ذلك فهذا إخلاصا، لا يضره الفرح في ذلك.
نعم. لو صعب هذا، لأن هذا يصعب على كثير من الناس، فلو غفل فعل ولم يرد رياء بس هكذا يعني استمتع، هل فيه؟
طيب يتذكر إنما العلم بالتعلم وإنما نعم. الحلم بالتحلم، فيذكر نفسه المرة بعد المرة المرة بعد المرة بأن لولا فضل الله عليك ما ظهر منك هذا، لولا فضل الله عليك، ويتمثل قوله تعالى ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى من أحد منكم أبدا.
نعم. ولو حصل له إحباط مثلا
يعيد
يرجع إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى
ففروا إلى الله. طبعا وهذا جهاد، هذا جهاد.
So he says that if you're if when you are so it's the first part of your question. I think the second part is answered through it. That if you if your happiness, basically the question is the enjoyment that you gain from the book. So he says that if the enjoyment that you gain from the book is accompanied by the realization that, as the Sahaba used to say, that if it weren't for Allah, we wouldn't be guided, we wouldn't have prayed, we wouldn't have fasted. So if your happiness is motivated by this kind of happiness that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has manifested this to you and you're grateful, then there's nothing, then it's good. But if it's motivated by I'm such a great writer and I'm such a great this and everybody look at me and I'm so great, then he says it's a head shake, it's problematic. So I asked that what happens if you know, most of us, we are, myself included, we're heedless, like we don't, like you said in the second thing, like you don't really intend anything. So he says that one should intend to improve. You remind yourself of how the Sahaba were, and you try to improve without becoming depressed and without giving up. So at the end of it, it says that it must be simpler. So you don't fear that you fall into riya and something bad is going to happen to you, but you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to improve. So we move forward in a positive way without falling into negative.
هل ترجمت تعالوا يا لفني شوفوني ما أحسنني؟
يعني بالمعنى، لكن هل له قصة؟
لا، هو مثل يقال. يعني في من نسب إلى نفسه شيئا يقال في حقه تعالوا يا لفني شوفوني ما أحسني فهو لا ينسب ذلك إلى الله ينسبها إلى نفسه.
There's a very funny way of saying it in Arabic. He says, come, oh my wonderful act, see how good I am. So it's as though you're looking at the book itself, and you're saying to the book, look, I'm so great. there is a question. How does one begin to perfect their sincerity to make it purely for Allah's sake? Are there any tricks from shaitan, the nafs, or anything else that one should be aware of when trying to be sincere? How would one combat these obstacles? كيف نتقن إخلاصنا حتى تكون أعمالنا لله سبحانه وتعالى؟ هل هناك حيل شيطانية أو حيل نفسانية يعني ينبغي أن نحتاط يعني أن نكون محتاطين أن نقع فيها وكيف يعني محاربة هذه الحيل أو العوائق؟
بإرجاع الأمر كله لله. ربما تزين النفس أو يزين الشيطان ذلك العمل بأنه يعني صدر منك كذا وصدر منك كذا. فقيل في أحد الأولياء عند احتضاره قيل له كانوا إخوانه في يعني حوله فكانوا يقولون لا إله إلا الله يذكرونه لا إله إلا الله فهو يقول لا 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 فخافوا عليه فقبل خروج روحه رجع من هذه الغيبة التي كان فيها وقالوا له كنا نقول لك قل لا إله إلا الله وأنت تقول لا قال كان يقول لي نجوت مني يا فلان الشيطان يخاطبه يقول نجوت مني يا فلان يقول لا لما يعني لما بعد لا لا فنحترز من هذا بأن ننسب سيدي كل خير يجريه الحق عليك أو يصدر منك يجب أن تعتقد أن هذا من فضل الله عليك فكل ما صدر منك أنت صورة الله سبحانه وتعالى أظهر فيك هذا العمل اشكر من أظهره فيك ووفقك إليه فدائما لو النفس احتالت أو الشيطان احتال عليك أرجع ذلك إلى الله هو الموفق هو الخالق هو الرازق هو المعطي هو المانع هو 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 أرجع بذلك كله إلى الله.
He says that the way is what whenever any good comes appears at one's hands, one needs to return it always to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the trick or the trap, it lies in the fact that something good appears. You publish a book or you give a talk or you pray a prayer, anything good appears and you ascribe it to yourself and your own abilities and how good you are. That's the trick and that's the trap. And that's the thing that we need to be aware of. So he said that there's one of the scholars, he had his students around him and he was dying. And his students, they were gathered around him and they said, say la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah. And he would say la, no, 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 no. And they started feeling scared because it's as though he's leaving and he's being told, say la ilaha illallah. And he's saying, no, I won't say la ilaha illallah. So he was he was like semi-conscious and he was saying no. And then before he passed away, he regained his consciousness. And his students, they asked him that we were scared because we were saying, say la ilaha illallah. And you were saying no. And he said that I saw the shaitan, and the shaitan was saying to me, you are safe. You've escaped. You're free from me now. And I was saying to him, no, I'm not safe. I'm not safe until I die. So this is comes from the question that one can never be safe. And the trick is that shaitan will come to us and tell us that something that we've done is very great. And we'll ascribe it to ourselves, and we won't ascribe it to the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn to him in gratitude. So he says that every single good thing that we do, we return it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We forget, but then we remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who withholds. And so we don't fall into depression, but we continue this reminding process, and we remind ourselves of this.
مما يقوي هذا عند العبد يعني سلوك الإخلاص أن كلما صدر منه نعمة جلت أو قلت فينسب ذلك إلى الله ويشكر الله عليها. هذا الشكر على النعمة القليلة والكثيرة والعمل الصغير والكبير ونسبته إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى, هذا مرة بعد مرة بعد مرة بعد مرة يصير هذا خلقا عنده ويصير له مقاما حتى لا ينسب إلى نفسه شيئا بل يرجع ذلك إلى الله. فالشكر على الصغيرة والكبيرة, على النعمة الصغيرة والنعمة الكبيرة, يحدث لكل تسبيحة شكرا, ولكل تحميدة شكرا, ولكل حسنة شكرا. هذا مما يقوي عنده الإخلاص.
He says, as a practical exercise, what we can do is any good thing. So he said at the end, even every time you say Subhanallah, you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time you say Alhamdulillah, you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is for somebody who's at a high state, let's say Munir. But somebody like us, we begin with anything that we've done. I write a book, I say Alhamdulillah. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of writing a book. I pray in the masjid, I say Alhamdulillah. And by doing this exercise repeatedly, then eventually she says that it becomes a habit and it becomes a trait, and it leads to sincerity. Is a question: is it compatible with sincerity if a teacher discourages students from leaving him and tries to keep as many people following him as possible? Should a teacher care who does or does not follow him? هل ممكن أن يكون من الإخلاص أن شيخا يقول لتلامذته ألا يذهبوا إلى شيخ آخر وأن يدرسوا منه فقط؟
بدنا نرجع إلى نيته, وإذا اطلعنا على نيته نستطيع أن نقول شيء, أما إذا لم نطلع على نيته فما عندنا شيء نقوله.
Said it depends on the intention. So if we know what his intention is, then we can tell. If we don't, then we can't. So he says, question: what if we ascribe the action to the tawfiq of Allah in our mind, but we become happy in our heart when we are praised? We didn't do the act for praise, but we are happy to be praised, or perhaps even more, we think we are better than others for Allah to have blessed us with a good deed. ماذا إذا فعلنا فعلا ونسبناه إلى توفيق الله سبحانه وتعالى في أذهاننا ونفرح في في قلوبنا. ومع ذلك عندما يحدث هناك مدح من شخص يقول شخص يعني ما أحسن فعلك كذا فنفرح بهذا المدح، فلم نفعل لم نعمل من أجل المدح، لكن عندما جاء المدح فرحنا به، وربما أدى هذا المدح إلى أن نظن أنفسنا أفضل من الآخرين. فماذا؟
يعني هم نعمتان، نعمة أنه أجرى هذا العمل عليك، ونعمة أنه أجرى مديح الخلق عليك، هذول نعمتين فتستوجب شكرين. شكر ظهور هذا العمل منك من كونه أنعم الله عليك، وشكر أنه غطى مساويك وجعل ألسنة الخلق تمدحك، فهذين نعمتين.
So he says that there are two blessings here. The first blessing is the act of worship that you did, and the second blessing is people praising you for it. Because if people praising you is a blessing. We don't want to live a life where everybody is blaming us. That would be a terrible life to live. So what we do is we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the original action. And then we're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when people praise us. So if when people praise us, we see it as a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are grateful for it.
الجزء الأخير من السؤال ما هو؟
هو يعني لم نعمل العمل من أجل المدح، لكن عندما جاء المدح فرحنا بالمدح، وربما ظننا
نفرح بأنه نعمة من الله على لسان الخلق، أرسلنا مو فقط استعملنا في ما استعملنا فيه، لكن وزادنا من فضله أن جعل لسان الخلق تمدح هذا الفعل، فنفرح بالنعمتين من الله سبحانه وتعالى. فإذا رأيناها نعمة من الله ذهب الحرج.
So when people praise us, we can be happy, but we're happy because it's a blessing from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And so instead of being happy and thinking that we are better than other people, we see it as a blessing. We remind ourselves that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of people praising us, and it takes us out of the difficulty.
لأنه إذا مدح المؤمن ربى الإيمان في قلبه.
يعني نمى الإيمان يعني ربى يعني كبر.
إيه زاد. فمن كونه نعمة من الله سبحانه وتعالى أيضا.
So he said there's a saying that when a believer is praised, then his iman grows.
هذا في الحديث.
It's transmitted from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. When a believer is praised, then his iman grows. How if this hadith were authentic, then what would it mean? It would mean that we ascribe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our faith increases. So praising, when people praise us, it makes us stronger believers. It brings us even closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
والمؤمن تسره الطاعة وتسوءه المعصية.
And the believer should be happy when he does an act of worship, and he should be sad when he does an act of disobedience. So to be happy when you do something good is part of iman.
تسره من حيث بروزها من الله سبحانه وتعالى، وتسوءه من حيث دخول النفس فيها.
تسوءه ممكن يسره الطاعة.
تسره من كون أن الله أبرزها فيه.
نعم.
هذا يسره.
نعم.
وتسوءه المعصية من حيث أنها صدرت من غلبة نفس أو هوى أو شيطان.
So you are happy at an act of worship because it came to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a believer. A believer is happy at an act of worship because it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is saddened by an act of disobedience because it came from himself. Is it better to hide a good deed due to fear of showing off, or doing the deed in front of others hoping they might benefit? هل الأفضل فعل الطاعة يعني إخفاء الطاعة من خوف الرياء أو إظهارها أمام الآخرين ليقتدوا بالشخص؟
في كل وجهة وفي كل أمر إلهي، إن تبدوا الصدقات فهي خير لكم، وإن تخفوها، إن تبدوا الصدقات
فنعم ما هي،
فنعم ما هي، وإن تخفوها
وتؤتوها الفقراء
نعم
فهو خير لكم،
فهو خير لكم. فجاءت الآية بالإظهار تشجيعا للغير، وفي الإخفاء كذا، في الإسرار منها كذلك، فلا حرج فيها إذا نوى فيها التشجيع ونوى فيها أن يقتدى به، أو لكن لا يغيب عن أنها نعمة من الله سبحانه وتعالى في الإظهار والإسرار.
So he said that you can do both. There's a verse of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you show your act of charity to other people, then it's a wonderful thing that you've done. But if you conceal it, then it's also good, so that you can intend something good from either one. So, but as long as when one does it in front of other people, one intends to that they benefit. What of the practice of some who ascribe every good and barakah in their life to a particular shaykh or wali? وإياكم. فما يعني إذا تعلمنا شيئا من شيخ فهل يعني فنشكره أيضا. فهل هذا يعني هل هذا ينافي شكر الله سبحانه وتعالى؟ وهل هناك يعني حد أو يقع شخص في غلو من هذا؟ يعني هذا معنى السؤال. يعني
من لا يشكر الناس، من لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله. تشكر هذا المظهر الذي برز منه الإحسان، وحقيقة أنت تشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى لأنه هو موجده.
So he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever is not grateful to people is not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there is a teacher from whom one benefits, then part of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being grateful to that person. But one sees that person as something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and so it goes back to thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the problem is when one thinks that the teacher has some kind of independence. But if one sees him as a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one thanks the manifestation and also the creator.
قال أحد الأولياء لسائل، قال خذ لا لك، قال هات لا منك. كان أشد معرفة من الأول.
كيف كان أشد معرفة من الأول؟
قال له خذ لا لك، لماذا تسمعني أنه لا لك؟ اجعل هذا لله سبحانه وتعالى، لماذا يعني تقول خذ لا لك، لماذا تقول لا لك؟ قال هات لا منك. أراد أن يعني يهذب له عبارته كأنه، لكن لا نريد أن ندخل بين الأولياء فيما بينهم.
هذا يعني سبحان الله محاورة الأولياء.
محاورة الأولياء، وننأى بأنفسنا عن يعني تفضيل بعضهم على الآخر، على بعضهم على الآخر.
نعم.
أحسن.
أسلم. This is what awliya do. This is what they do when they get together. So one of them, he gave another one some charity, and he said, "Take it, and it's not for you." In other words, I am doing it for Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. I'm not doing it. I'm not seeing you. I'm just giving it to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. And the one who was taking it, he says, "Give it to me, not from you." In other words, I'm taking it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he commented, he said that the second one had a higher level of ma'rifah than the first. Because when the first one said, take, not for you, he didn't need to say that. So the second one, his comment, it raised, it was teaching the first one. So this is how, this is what they do when they get together and they talk. there's a question. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Do you have an email for when we have any questions? Yes, you can email me at hamza@basireducation.org. كان سؤال يعني هل لو كان هناك سؤال شخصي هل هناك رسالة بريد فأعطيته. So any other questions? Then we'll stop here. نقف هنا سيدي. انتهت الأسئلة.
في إخلاص يعني في صور متعددة، يعني منها زوج تزوج وبعد زواجه بفترة وجيزة أصاب زوجته مرض عضال كالسرطان أو غيره، فذهب بها إلى بيروت وأنفق على علاجها، فيقول له والدها، يقول لها يا ابني طلقها، أنت يعني لست ملزما في علاجها، يعني أنا أخشى أن تنفق كل هذا المال وكذا وكذا. قال أبدا. ثم باع بيته في دمشق وأنفق هذا ثمن هذا البيت على علاجها. هذا من صور الإخلاص في زماننا يعني. ووالدها يترجاه، يقول له يا ابن أنت ليس لك يعني في هذا، هي مرضت في أول أيام الزواج ونحن نعذرك في ذلك، ولا نريد أن لم يقبل إلا ما كان مخلصا لهذه الزوجة.
Said an example of sincerity from our times he said that there's a man, someone who he knew, who married a woman in Damascus, and shortly after they got married, she got a fatal illness, and so he took her to Beirut to get treatment, and he spent large amounts of money for her recovery, and he spent so much that he even had sold his house in Damascus, and he's spending it on her so that she's recovers. And her father, her own father, said to the man, "This is not. It's just divorce her. You know this. You haven't even lived together. She just fell ill." And he said, "Never." He said, and so he spent all of this money. He said, "This is an example, an illustration of sincerity from our times."
من صور الإخلاص في النصيحة الإصرار فيها لمن تنصح.
He says that from the sign of sincerity in giving advice to somebody is that you give it privately. and you give it privately to the person, and you don't reveal it, you don't do it publicly.
مرة من صور الإخلاص في العمل آوى في سياحته أبو يزيد الوسطامي آواه المبيت إلى مكان آواه المبيت في المسجد فقال له خادم المسجد نريد بعد صلاة العشاء أن نغلق المسجد فيجب أن تخرج من المسجد فقال له أنا غريب ويعني فأبات إلى الفجر وأصلي الفجر وأغادر قال له لا لا يمكن فأخرجه لا يعرفه أنه أبو يزيد أخرجه وأغلق المسجد نظر والوقت بارد ليلة باردة فنظر أبو يزيد فوجد نارا من بعد فذهب إلى تلك النار وجدها مكان مصبغة يصبغ بها القماش دخل إلى هذا المكان وجد فيها عامل قال له السلام عليكم لم يرد عليه السلام فبات مشان الدفء بات في تلك في ذلك المكان بعد 3 ساعات أكثر أقل قال له العامل وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته قال أنا قلت لك السلام عليكم منذ 3 ساعات وأنت تجيبني بعد قال ذلك الوقت ليس لي هو وقت العمل وأنا خفت تقول لي من أنت ومن أين أنت ولماذا فيضيع وقت العمل وهذا الوقت ليس لي فقال له أبو يزيد قال أنا أحسب على الله أنه لم تدعوه بشيء إلا وقد أعطاك إياه هل دعوت الله في شيء وما أعطاك إياه قال له والله ما دعوت الله في شيء إلا وأعطاني إياه إلا دعوة واحدة قال ما هي قال يا رب أريد أن أرى أبا يزيد ولم أره بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى أتاك به سحبه وجره إليك جرا
So here is a story of sincerity in work that we do, in our jobs. So Abu Yazid al-Bustami, he was one of the great awliya of our history. And he used to sometimes just wander without any food, without any money, just wander. And they would do this. They didn't own anything. They didn't have a wife to support. They don't have any obligations. So they just go and they wander. And so his wanderings took him to a masjid in some town where he was unknown. And so he prayed Salatul Isha in the masjid, and then he laid down in the masjid to sleep. And the person who was the caretaker of the masjid said, I'm locking the masjid, leave. He said, you know, I don't have any place to stay. Just let me stay here until the morning and I'll pray Fajr and then I'll leave. And he didn't know who he was. He didn't know he was Abu Yazid al-Bustami. So he was a famous figure at that time. But he refused and he kicked him out of the masjid. So he went out and it was rainy and it was cold. And in the distance he saw a fire. And it was a place where people were dyeing clothes. They used to take garments and dye them in colors. So there was a worker there. He was doing his job. He came and he said, Assalamu alaikum. And the worker didn't respond. He was working. But there was a fire there and it was cold. So he lay down beside the fire and so he could have some warmth and to rest. 3 hours later, the worker said, Wa alaikum assalam. He responded. And so Abu Yazid said, I gave you salam 3 hours ago and how come you're responding, it took you 3 hours to respond to the salams? And he said, it was because I was working. And so I was working and my time, and I feared that if I say wa alaikum assalam, that you're going to start talking to me and I'll talk to you. And this time that I owe to my employer will be lost. And so I didn't say wa alaikum assalam, and now I'm saying it to you because I'm done my job. Abu Yazid said, he recognized his sincerity. He said, you are someone who whenever you make a dua, your dua is answered. Isn't that the case? Tell me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you ever made a dua that wasn't answered? He said, I bear witness that I've never made a dua that wasn't answered, except one dua. And Abu Yazid said, what was that dua? He said, I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I want to meet Abu Yazid al-Muslim. And so Abu Yazid said that, here you go, your dua is answered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him to you in chains, even though, you know, despite, in spite of himself. يوجد سؤال استطرادي ممكن نختم به قليل. تسأل السلام عليكم. This is a little bit off topic, but is it okay to ask how does one bring baraka into their time and energy? سؤال يعني هو استطرادي قليلا لكن كيف نأتي بالبركة؟ كيف ندخل البركة في وقتنا وفي قواتنا في أوقاتنا؟
في وقتنا وفي
في يعني قوتنا يعني النشاط الذي يكون عند الشخص كيف نجعل فيه وفي الوقت البركة؟
أولا في التسبيح والتحميد والتهليل الذي قبل النوم. سبحان الله والحمد لله والله أكبر ونختم بلا إله إلا الله. هذا أولا لما ورد من طلب السيدة فاطمة رضي الله تعالى عنها من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في احتياجها للخادم أو الخادمة, فأرشدها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى ذلك.
So the first is that before you go to bed, you say 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 33 or 34 times Allahu Akbar. And then you finish with La ilaha illallah. And this is because of a hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Sayyidah Aisha, Sayyidah Fatima, she said that she was tired. So she asked, she didn't have energy. So this is in response to energy. She didn't have energy, and so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so she wanted a servant, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that instead of that, to do this every night before she went to sleep.
والثاني ترتيب الأولويات في الأعمال.
The second is prioritizing the work that one does. So you give more important things, you give those priority, and then the most important things get done, and one's time is mubarak. نقف هنا سيدنا صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ثم نقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما نرث بها إخلاص رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. نكثر من هذا عند يعني رؤيتنا التقصير في ذلك, نجعل هذا من بعض أورادنا.
So when one sees a defect in one's ikhlas, then here's a dua that we can say. We say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما, a blessings and peace through which we inherit the sincerity of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Through the barakah of this blessings and peace, inherit the sincerity of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
جزاكم الله خيرا.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
صلي وسلم ربي وأنعم على المعلم.